But I want to look at Philippians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 5. Pretty familiar passage, but I want to look at not only the first part, but also the last two verses that we look at as well. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says this: "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and giveth him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Let's go to Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. We thank you for its truth. Lord, I pray that you would help me tonight to preach the word, Lord, that you called me to. And Lord, I pray that you'd open up our ears and our hearts, Lord, that we could draw closer to you. Lord, challenge us, encourage us, and help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So this section, it starts with verse 5. He's talking to the Philippian church, and he wants them to have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. "Let this mind be in you, which is also was also in Christ Jesus." He wants us to be, and he goes through a couple things, and in verse 6, what's he want? He wants them, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So you see right here, what was Jesus's mind right off the bat? You know that he was equal with God because he was God. You know, there's all these false teaching where Jesus was created later. Jesus is a lower in the ranking and all of these things, but he was equal with God. And that's important in this little passage right here. If you miss that, it'll be hard to put it together. But he said, listen, he's equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So someone who's equal with God, because he is God, comes down and he makes himself a servant. And then that servant, what did he do? And being found in verse 8, in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we see God became a servant, and he humbled himself and was obedient unto death in the cross. And then after that, the part that I like starts in verse 9, where it says he is highly exalted. He's worthy of all worship in heaven and in earth and under the earth. And you think about this. How did he become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? That's who Jesus is. How did he get that position? See, an earthly king, what they would have done is different than the way Jesus did it. An earthly king, what would he have done? He would have started to conquer nation after nation, territory after territory, get rid of everyone who was a threat to his power, and keep building the throne and building the throne and building the throne through military power, military strategy. But Jesus didn't take on the form of a warrior. He didn't take on the form of a king, but he took on the form of a servant. And that's the exact opposite of what you would think today in this world. If you're going to take over and rule and reign the entire earth, how would you start as a servant? There's no way. But that's what he did. He humbled himself, made himself no reputation. That's also the opposite of today, isn't it? Right? Everyone's trying to make a name for themselves. Everyone is trying to build up their name and reputation and build up their empire. But Jesus did the opposite. No reputation, servant, humbled himself, and then he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And see, it's because of his obedience. And I feel like it's two ways you can look at it. Yeah,
yes, he was obedient and died on the cross, but he was also obedient unto death. That obedience never stopped all the way to the cross, and that's important because he could have been obedient all the way till the day before and then stopped being obedient. And it wouldn't have worked, right? He was obedient unto death, even unto the death of the cross. And we see that. So he was a king, but he came to serve. He was God. He ruled and reigned, but he was obedient up unto his death. And that's what it says in verse 5. All of those things together, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, right? This mind, that humble, obedient, no reputation, a servant unto death. That's the mind I want you to emulate, the one I want you to follow. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says this, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Isn't that a wonderful thing at salvation? Because you're thinking about how on earth, Mike, you just told me that we're supposed to put on this mind and have this mindset that's the opposite of the world. How on earth are we going to do it? It would be impossible if God didn't give us a new mind at salvation. If he didn't give us the mind of Christ once we were saved. But as we say many times, we have a choice. Whether we're going to use that new mindset or whether we're going to creep back into the old mindset, right? Because we still have parts of the old mind there, aren't they? It's still there. Yeah. That flesh is still there. And we have to decide, what are we going to do? Are we going to allow ourselves to think along the same lines of Jesus Christ? Are we going to humbly serve unto our death, our Lord, without trying to make a big name for ourselves? Or not? Are we going to let our mind make that be the goal and that be our mindset and be willing to serve as Jesus Christ, our guide? Are we willing to do that? And that's a hard thing when you start to think about that. Will we actually do it day in and day out? And you know, if this passage stopped there, we would be pretty, I'd be pretty frustrated. I'd think, man, this seems impossible because I'm not Jesus Christ. So how am I supposed to copy the mindset that he's given? How are we supposed to do that when we still have the flesh and everything else? Well, I like that section. Like I said, you know, verses 9, 10, 11, that's a great section, you know, thinking about how Jesus is highly exalted and every knee shall bow and all of those things, every tongue shall confess. We love to recite those verses and think about them, but that doesn't apply to us, so we can skip over that. We know where Jesus is at. We know that he is worthy of all worship throughout the world. Without, there is no equal, no one else deserving of worship, and his name is a different name than every other name. So I'm glad about those things. But then it gets back to verse 12, and this is where it starts to hit me again, hit us again. Wherefore, right? What's all this here for? Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So remember, he's writing in person. He's writing to the Philippian church. He was there in person helping to plant the church, but now he's gone. Paul's writing them a letter and he's challenging them. And he said, hey, you were obedient while I was here, but now even more you have to be obedient. And I believe that's the same today, right? As these days continue on, and as this world gets more wicked, and as we see the last days approaching, and perilous times are here, and every other description in the Bible, the days of Noah, and the days of Lot, and everything else, it is so much more important to be obedient, right? But then look what he says. Obedient, work, but now much more in my absence, and he says this, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know what he didn't say right there? He didn't say, I want you to earn your salvation through works, right? Because that's what some people think. You have to go back to Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, that salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't earn our salvation through works, right? We didn't become saved because of good works or rituals or anything like that. And we don't keep our salvation through works either. It is not something that we are doing in order to get to heaven, lest any man should boast.
And then Ephesians 2:10, see, people like to stop at the end of verse 9, but it says, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should work in them.
So we know we're not getting to heaven on our works. We're not staying saved based on works, but we are to work. We're created in works. We're created to work. We're called to different things. And what's he say?
He says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, when I thought about that,
it's not a fear. When the Bible talks about fearing God and fear, it's not that we cower in fear. Like, you know, what do we have this time of year? Halloween's coming. You get scary movies and everything. That's not the fear we're talking about. It is the reverence of God because of who He is. Remember what we just talked about. This is the God, the mind that we're supposed to put on us, the same mindset as in Christ Jesus, who He was a servant. He was obedient unto the cross. Now He's up in heaven, highly exalted, and every name shall bow. That's the name. And we're to fear. What are we to fear? I believe we're to fear disappointing Him. We are to fear living against His will. We're to fear wasting what He's given us. That's the fear that, you know what, God, heaven forbid that I would take this salvation, that I would take this Holy Spirit, that I would take this Word and everything that You've given me in this time and this health and this energy and all of the stuff and my family and my job and the influence and all these people. Heaven forbid I would waste that. That's the fear that I believe He's talking about. Heaven forbid we should waste what God has given us and say, you know what, for whatever reason, one way or another, I'm not going to do what He's called me to do. Remember, He said, put this mind, let this mind be in you, obedient unto death. Not obedient unto I'm done, or obedient unto I'm going to retire. Obedient to the end, till He calls us home. Amen. That's what He wants us to do. That's the mind we have to put into us. But when He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, that work out, I think we struggle with that. But if we really stop and think, you know, many times when we're preaching, many times when we get into God's Word and things convict us and we know there are things we need to take care of, it's not easy, is it? Right? It's not easy just to change a mindset. Remember, I told you this morning, I had talked to Gene months ago about memorizing Scripture. The Lord had been dealing with me for a while, and I just kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. It's hard. Why? Because I knew what it would take. I knew that it would take practice. It would take continuing every single day. And that's many things what God has called us to do, whether it's taking care of an issue or whether it's doing something He wants us to do. It takes work, and we're afraid of that. It takes work, and we're like, you know what? I'd rather spend my time, energy, effort in something else. But He says, you've got to work it out. Yes.
Right? See, the devil, here's what the devil does. I believe he does this a lot. You will get in a service, or you'll get in God's Word, studying in there, and the Holy Spirit will convict you on something. And then when you don't immediately fix that, the devil whispers in your ear, and you know what he says? You'll never be able to change.
Yeah.
Right? God told you to stop doing that, and look, you're doing it again. Right? Isn't that what he does? He discourages, he deceives, he's an accuser of the brethren, he does all these things, and you know what God's saying? God's saying, I don't expect everything to change like that. There's a lot of things that you've got to work it out. Right? You've got to work it out through prayer. You've got to work it out through finding someone else to be accountable with you. You've got to work it out through getting in His Word and just pouring into it. You've got to work it out and say, you know what, God? I'm going to do what will help me. I'm going to get in the right position, the right mindset, so that way I can do this. Or I'm not going to put myself in these areas of temptation that I know make it harder for me to resist. That's work. And that's okay. That's okay. The devil expects, he wants us to be instantly compliant, or else he starts accusing and everything else. But it's all deception. Because God's saying, hey, I know it's going to take time. It takes time. Remember what I said as we go through. What mind do we need to have in us that we take on the form of a servant? That's hard. It is hard to serve, isn't it? It's hard to have a servant's mindset all the time. Remember what I said this morning. This world and our flesh naturally wants us to serve ourselves and be self-centered. But to be a servant, it takes work, doesn't it? What else? And when he said, not only a form of a servant, but to humble ourselves. Pride is what comes naturally, right? Yes. Boasting is what comes naturally. That's the easy thing to do. That's what this world loves to do. That's what they encourage. It takes work to be humble instead of proud. And then being obedient unto death, that definitely takes work. All the way. And I think sometimes we just have to remember that there is work to be done in our life, and that's okay. Because, you see, it's a, they call it, you know, sanctification is the fancy word, and it, progressive sanctification. What that basically means is the moment you and I were saved, God made us a new creature, put in a new heart, put in a new mind, and is helping us, saved our soul, but is helping us to looking towards Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and as we are set on a path to draw closer to God. And what it is it's a journey our entire life. It takes work. And there are days where we take two steps forward, and then there are days where we take three backwards, right? But it is in a long-term a thing where we are drawing closer to God, and a lot of times I have to give myself a longer time span, not am I closer to God last week, but am I closer to God than last year? Because I don't know about you, I'm slow that way. I resist God when He's trying to get me closer to Him, and when He's trying to work on me in different things. But if we look backwards, we can say, praise God. Even though it wasn't smooth, even though I fought it every bit of the way, praise God that He has brought me to this point from where I used to be. But that's work. And we've got to work it out. You've got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I believe it is an everyday thing. And again, if we stopped at 12, it would be even harder, right? Not only do we have to put on that mind that Christ Jesus had, but then we got to work it out. But look at verse 13. For it is God which, what? Worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. That's what blesses me right there. See, now we would be so frustrated if it took all of us to get to the point where we need to be. But verse 13 comes right in there and says, after, as you are working, right? As we are working to draw closer to God, as we're working to do what He's called us to do, as we are working to put this mind that was in Christ Jesus, He said, I'm coming in right alongside of you, and I'm working inside, right? I'm working with you. I'm working through you. That's where the grace comes in. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's where He helps us. And see, if there was no verse 13, we could say, God, this is impossible. But then He says, yes, but men, all things, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. That's where God says, I command, and I'm working in you. And that's the awesome part, isn't it? Isn't that awesome when you can just see your own failures and faults and shortcomings, and then you can see God come right up underneath, and He can just bring you up as if there was no shortcoming. And then, you know, where you can say, God, I can't do this, but by faith, I'm going to take that step. And He says, all right, well, here I am. I'm going to catch you in your next step. I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to help you. I'm going to work on your mind. I'm going to work on your tongue. I'm going to work on your body and everything else to draw you. What? Not to do your will, but to do His will and His good pleasure. Yes. Why? Because we are His servants.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus gave us the example of how to be a servant. Right?
Yeah.
He was equal with God. It wasn't robbery. It wasn't a lie. It wasn't a bad thing. He was God.
Yes.
But He came down here and He humbled Himself so we would have the ultimate example of what a servant is. And I think about, there's probably no greater picture other than the cross of where they're all fighting and feuding, remember? Yeah. Nobody's willing to wash the feet of anyone. And there's Jesus Christ, the Creator of the universe, girding Himself, kneels down, and starts to wash the disciples' feet. It just blows my mind that God would do that. But He said, listen, I want you to get that mind in you. Right? Yep. That same mindset. Where even though your flesh wants to say, I'm better. Even though your flesh wants to say, you know, you've done all these things. Yeah. Take a rest. Even though your flesh wants to say, you know what? Look at what you've done. And you should be proud of that. And everything else.
there's God saying, listen, humble yourself, follow my example, and it will take work, and it'll take a lot of work and fear and trembling, but I am working with you.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Amen.
I believe we could use those verses 13 and 14 for every bit of our Christian life. Right?
Amen.
But the question is, are we putting the work in? And that's when I ask myself, well, sometimes I am, and in some ways I'm doing it, but in other ways not. Right? In some areas, God's told me, He's dealt with me, and I'm not working it out. And in turn, He's not working within me in that spot either.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to take more time
mm-hmm.
if He tarries. But I'm here to tell you, whatever it is, we can tackle it with God.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever He's called us to do, He designed us in that calling. And He wants us to work in that calling and be obedient in that calling, and He'll work through us.
Yeah.
That excites me. Doesn't it excite you?
Amen.
To think about Jesus? That's who we're looking towards, the author and finisher of our faith.
Yes.
He set the example. Now He's on high.
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's who we're serving. Don't ever forget that. We're not serving the president of the U.S. We're not serving our companies. We're not serving any of those things. We're serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name is highly exalted above any other. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Are we working today? Are we working it out? Our own salvation. Notice that? I can't work out yours. You can't work out mine.
Amen.
We're working it out our own. But God, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. We're going to open up the altar tonight if you need to pray about anything. He served. He humbled. He was obedient unto death. And He said, let this mind be in you. What a challenge. What a hard thing. The same mind. He said, I gave you the mind of Christ. But it takes work. Right? It takes work. In our mind, we've got a Jekyll and Hyde situation, don't we? Two minds. Two wills. The flesh and the spirit.
Yes.
The spirit's willing, the flesh is weak.
Yes.
What's it? It takes work. Everything we do for God. And the closer we get to God, the more people will see. A lot of people know us from before.
Yeah.
The closer we get to God, the bigger the difference. They can say, man, I remember him.
Yeah.
I remember her. We went to school together. They were totally different.
Yes.
Look what happened. And see, just a little bit of work, a little bit of time, they can say, well, they just turned over a new leaf. But I'll tell you what, as you start really getting closer to God and applying, and you start dealing with a lot of things, and you start, the fruit of the Spirit starts coming out in your life, they're going to say, wait a second, that's not turning over a new leaf, that's God.
Amen.
Then you can tell Him. He can do that for you too. He can do that for you too. We'll have setbacks.